Chapter 30. Gaskell lay stretched out in bed, a cold cup of coffee and a dish with a half-eaten bologna sandwich beside him on the bedstand. The blanket warming his huge bulk was strewn with typewritten pages. He raised the cup and sipped the coffee before reading the next page of a book-length manuscript. The title was The Thief Who Was Never Caught. It was a non-fiction account of the search for the Spectre, written by a retired Scotland Yard inspector by the name of Nathan Pembroke. The inspector spent nearly 5 decades digging through international police archives, tracking down every lead, regardless of its reliability, in his relentless hunt. Pembroke, hearing of Gaskell's interest in the elusive art thief from the 1920s and 30s, sent him the yellowed, dog-eared pages of the manuscript he had painstakingly compiled, one that had been rejected by over 30 editors in as many years. Gaskell could not put it down. He was totally absorbed in the masterful investigative work by Pembroke, who was now in his late 80s. The Englishman had been the lead investigator on the Spectre's last known heist, which took place in London in 1939. The stolen art consisted of a Joshua Reynolds, a pair of constables, and 3 Turners. Like all the other brilliantly executed thefts by the Spectre, the case was never solved, and none of the art was recovered. Pembroke, stubbornly insisting there was no such thing as a perfect crime, became obsessed with discovering the Spectre's identity. For half a century, his obsession never dimmed, and he refused to give up the chase. Only a few months before his health failed, and he was forced to enter a nursing home, did he make a breakthrough that enabled him to write the end to his superbly narrated account. A great pity, Gaskell thought, that no editor thought it worth publishing. He could think of at least 10 famous art thefts that might have been solved if The Thief Who Was Never Caught had been printed and distributed. Gaskell finished the last page an hour before dawn. He lay back on his pillow staring at the ceiling, fitting the pieces into neat little slots, until the sun's rays crept above the windowsill of his bedroom in the town of Cicero, just outside Chicago. Suddenly, he felt as if a logjam had broken free and was rushing into open water. Gaskell smiled like a man who held a winning lottery ticket as he reached for the phone. He dialed a number from memory and fluffed the pillows so he could sit up while waiting for an answer. A very sleepy voice croaked, "Francis Ragsdale here." "Gaskell." "Jesus, Dave, why so early?" "Who's that?" came the slurred voice of Ragsdale's wife over the receiver. "Dave Gaskell." "Doesn't he know it's Sunday?" "Sorry to wake you," said Gaskell, "but I have good news that couldn't wait." "All right," Ragsdale mumbled through a yawn. "Let's hear it." "I can tell you the name of the Spectre."
"Who?"
"Our favorite art thief." Ragsdale came fully awake. "The Spectre? You made an ID?" "Not me. A retired inspector from Scotland Yard." "A limey made him?" "He spent a lifetime writing an entire book on the Spectre. Some of it's conjecture, but he's compiled some pretty convincing evidence."
"What does he have?"
Gaskell cleared his throat for effect. "The name of the greatest art thief in history was Mansfield Zolar."
"Say again?"
"Mansfield Zolar. Mean anything to you?" "You're running me around the park."
"Swear on my badge?"
"I'm afraid to ask." "Don't bother," Gaskell interrupted. "I know what you're thinking. He was the father."
"Good Lord, Zolar International. This is like finding the last piece of a jigsaw puzzle that fell on matching carpet. The Zolars, or whatever cockamamie names they call themselves. It all begins to fit.
Like breadcrumbs to the front door."
You were right during lunch the other day. The Spectre did sire a dynasty of rotten apples who carried on the tradition. We've had Xolar International under surveillance on at least 4 occasions that I can recall, but it always came up clean. I never guessed a connection to the legendary Spectre.
Same with the Bureau, said Ragsdale.
We've always suspected they were behind just about every 7-figure art and artifact theft that goes down. But we've been unable to find enough evidence to indict any one of them.
You have my sympathy. No evidence of stolen goods, no search warrant or arrest.
Little short of a miracle how an underground business as vast as the Xolar's can operate on such a widespread scale and never leave a clue.
They don't make mistakes, said Gasco.
Have you tried to get an undercover agent inside? Asked Ragsdale.
Twice.
They were wise almost immediately. If I wasn't certain my people are solid, I'd have sworn they were tipped off. We've never been able to penetrate them either. And the collectors who buy the hot art are just as tight-lipped and cautious.
And yet we both know the Xolar's launder stolen artifacts like drug dealers launder money.
Ragsdale was silent for a few moments. Finally, he said, I think it's about time we stop meeting for lunch to exchange notes and start working together on a full-time basis.
I like your style, Gaskell acknowledged.
I'll start the ball rolling on my end by submitting a proposal for a joint task force to my superior as soon as I hit the office.
I'll do likewise on my end.
Why don't we set up a combined meeting with our teams, say, Thursday morning?
Sounds like a winner, agreed Ragsdale.
That should give us time to lay the initial groundwork.
Speaking of the Spectre, did you track down the stolen Diego Rivera's? You mentioned over lunch that you might have a lead on them.
Still working on the case, Gaskell replied. But it's beginning to look like the Riveras went to Japan and ended up in a private collection.
What do you want to bet the Xolars set up the buy?
If they did, there would be no trail. They use too many front organizations and intermediaries to handle the sale. We're talking the superstars of crime. Since old Mansfield Xolar pulled off his first heist, no one in the family has ever been touched by you, by me, by any other law enforcement agency in the world. They've never seen the inside of a courtroom. They're so lily-white, it's disgusting.
We'll take them down this time, Ragsdale said encouragingly.
They're not the type to make mistakes we can use to our advantage, said Gaskell.
Maybe, maybe not.
But I've always had the feeling that an outsider, someone not directly connected with you, me, or the Xolars, will come along and short-circuit their system.
Whoever he is, I hope he shows up quick. I'd hate to see the Xolars retire to Brazil before we can drop the axe on their necks.
Now that we know Papa was the founder of the operation and how he operated, we'll have a better idea of what to look for.
Before we ring off, said Ragsdale, tell me, did you ever tie an expert translator to the golden mummy suit that slipped through your hands?
Gaskell winced. He didn't like to be reminded.
All known experts on such glyphs have been accounted for except two. A pair of anthropologists from Harvard, Dr. Henry Moore and his wife. They've dropped from sight. None of their fellow professors or neighbors have a clue to their whereabouts.
Ragsdale laughed. Be nice to catch them playing cozy with one of the Xolars.
I'm working on it.
Good luck.
Talk to you soon, said Gaskell.
I'll call you later this morning.
Make it this afternoon. I have an interrogation beginning at 9 o'clock.
Better yet, said Ragsdale, you call me when you have something in the works for a joint conference.
I'll do that.
Gaskell hung up, smiling. He had no intention of going into the office this morning. Getting agency sanction for a joint task force with the FBI would be more complicated on Ragsdale's end than Gaskell's. After reading all night, he was going to enjoy a nice, mind-settling sleep. He loved it when a case that died from lack of evidence 1 minute abruptly popped back to life again. He began to see things more clearly. It was a nice feeling to be in control. Motivation, stimulated by incentive, was a wonderful thing. Where had he heard that, he wondered? A Dale Carnegie class? A customs service policy instructor? Before it came back to him, he was sound asleep.